You're listening to an African Elements top news story for February 10th, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Mali press repression, why silence follows military coups? By Darius Spearman. The dawn of February 5th, 2026, brought a chilling change to the streets of Bamako. Police officers arrived at the home of Youssouf Sissoko, the editor-in-chief of L'Alternance. They arrested him for publishing an article that questioned military claims about a recent terrorist attack. This event is not an isolated incident. It represents a larger trend of military leaders tightening their grip on what people can say and hear. In the Sahel region of Africa, the struggle for a free press has become a battle for the soul of democracy itself. For many in the African diaspora, these stories feel familiar. The use of state power to silence those who speak truth to power is a global issue. In the United States, activists often face similar hurdles when they challenge the status quo. The current situation in Mali shows how quickly a beacon of democracy can turn into a place of fear. Journalists who once worked freely now find themselves behind bars for simply doing their jobs. Understanding this shift requires looking back at the history that led to this moment. Mali was not always a place where journalists feared the state. Following the 1991 revolution, the country became a leader in African democracy. This revolution ended the long dictatorship of Moussa Traoré. The new 1992 constitution specifically protected the freedom of the press in Article 7. During the 1990s, the media landscape exploded with new voices. Private radio stations became the most popular way for people to stay informed. By 2011, Mali was ranked 25th in the world for press freedom. However, the year 2012 changed everything. A military coup and an insurgency in the north created a state of constant crisis. Leaders began to prioritize national security over individual rights. This environment allowed the government to start viewing critical reporting as a threat to the state. As the military took more control, the space for independent voices began to shrink. The transition from a free nation to one labeled as repressed happened over several years of political instability. The arrest of Youssouf Sissoko in early 2026 sent shockwaves through the Malian media community. He was charged with insulting a foreign head of state and spreading false information. His real offense was questioning the narrative of the military ruler in Niger. This arrest highlights a new trend where juntas in the region protect each other from criticism. This mutual protection is part of a larger agreement between Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. Sissoko is not the only journalist facing the wrath of the junta. In 2025, authorities jailed Alfousini Togo and Seydou Oumar Traoré for similar reasons. Traoré received a 6-month sentence for criticizing the military leader of Guinea on social media. These actions show that the state is no longer just targeting reports about Mali. It is now punishing any speech that might upset the regional military balance. This shift has made it nearly impossible for local journalists to report on sensitive political topics without facing prison. The pattern of arrests creates a culture of silence. When a high-profile editor like Sissoko is taken from his home, other journalists notice. They begin to think twice before writing a single sentence. This self-censorship is exactly what the authorities want to achieve. It allows the government to control the narrative without having to arrest every single person. Consequently, the public receives only the information that the military deems appropriate. To silence dissent, the military junta uses specific legal tools. One of the most powerful is Law No. 2019-056, also known as the Cybercrime Law. While the law was meant to stop online fraud, the state now uses it to punish journalists. Articles 20 and 21 of this law are particularly dangerous. They allow the state to charge people for insults or threats made on digital platforms. These charges can lead to as many as 10 years in prison. The government has even created a specialized cybercrime tribunal. Human rights monitors warn that this unit bypasses normal press protections. Instead of treating a news article as a professional matter, the state treats it as a criminal cyber offense. This legal strategy makes it much easier to keep journalists in jail for long periods. It also discourages anyone from using social media to share opinions that differ from the official government line. This weaponization of the law mirrors historical struggles in the United States. For example, the political shift from civil rights to mass incarceration showed how laws could be used to target specific groups. In Mali, the cybercrime law serves a similar purpose by targeting the intellectual class of reporters and activists. By framing dissent as a crime against the digital order, the junta attempts to give its repression a legal appearance. Mali is not acting alone in its quest for control. It has joined forces with Burkina Faso and Niger to form the Alliance of Sahel States. This group was created to move away from Western influence and focus on regional security. On July 6, 2024, these nations officially left the Economic Community of West African States. They are now building their own military and media structures to promote what they call Sahelian values. In December 2025, the bloc launched AES-TV to ensure their message is the only one reaching the people. This new network focuses on patriotic news and supports the military leaders of the three countries. By creating their own media, the juntas hope to replace the international outlets they have banned. Major organizations like Radio France Internationale and France 24 are no longer allowed to broadcast in Mali. This move effectively blinds the public to any reporting from outside the military's control. This push for narrative sovereignty is often framed as a decolonial act. The junta argues that Western media is a tool of imperialism. However, critics note that this liberation mostly serves to hide human rights abuses. When only the state-run media is allowed to talk, the people lose their ability to hold leaders accountable. The shift toward a unified regional voice makes it harder for international watchdogs to monitor the situation on the ground. The term La Pensée Unique or one-track thinking describes the current state of Malian media. Authorities demand that all news outlets align with the military's patriotic narrative. Any reporter who questions military strategy or reports on losses is labeled a traitor. This environment makes it dangerous to tell the truth about the ongoing security crisis. Journalists are told that their duty is to support the troops, not to inform the public about the reality of the war. This pressure leads to a chilling effect where the press becomes performative. Instead of investigating stories, media outlets simply repeat government press releases. Human rights groups report that this has muted public scrutiny. Without independent news, the public cannot see the failures or the atrocities happening in the conflict. The loss of a critical press means that corruption and mismanagement can grow without being noticed. The struggle against one-track thinking is a central theme in many social justice movements. For instance, civil rights and black nationalism have often dealt with conflicting ideologies and the pressure to conform. In Mali, the pressure is coming from a military state that equates silence with loyalty. This situation forces journalists to choose between their professional ethics and their personal safety. The situation in Mali is not just an African problem. It connects to global concerns about state surveillance and the suppression of activists. Under the current presidency of Donald Trump, the U.S. has also seen debates about the role of the press and the limits of dissent. In both countries, the state sometimes uses security as a reason to watch and control those who criticize the government. The tools might be different, but the goal of silencing opposition remains the same. For the African American community, the history of state surveillance is deeply personal. Organizations have long documented how the FBI weaponized information to disrupt social justice movements. Just as Malian journalists are targeted today, black activists in the U.S. have historically faced similar fear tactics. This shared history of struggle creates a bond of solidarity between the diaspora and those fighting for freedom in West Africa. Furthermore, the decolonial narrative used by the Malian junta resonates with many who seek black sovereignty. The desire to break free from colonial influences like France is a powerful motivator. However, the use of this narrative to justify jailing journalists like Youssouf Sissoko is a major concern. Social justice requires both freedom from external control and freedom from internal repression. True sovereignty cannot exist if the people are not allowed to speak. Mali stands at a critical crossroads. The gains of the 1991 revolution are being erased by a military leadership that fears scrutiny. As of February 2026, the jails hold more than just journalists. They hold the hopes of a nation that once led the continent in democratic freedom. The international community and the African diaspora must remain vigilant. Without independent scrutiny, the atrocities and failures in the Sahel will remain hidden in the shadows. The story of Youssouf Sissoko is a reminder that the press is the first line of defense for any democracy. When that line is broken, all other rights are in danger. The hunter's fear tactics might mute the public for a while, but history shows that the desire for truth cannot be suppressed forever. As long as there are people willing to risk their freedom to report the facts, the flame of the 1991 revolution will continue to flicker. Copyright, African Elements.